This morning, if you care for a title, the sermon is entitled, Who is Your Neighbor? Who is your neighbor? And the text is Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37, which was beautifully read by the praise team. And I'm going to emphasize verse 36 and 37 of the entire text. And Jesus said, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Let us pray. In moments like this, O Lord, that we expect to receive from you the words that give eternal life, we humble ourselves under the power of your Holy Spirit because we understand that it is by him that we can understand what you have for us this morning. And so we pray that may you prepare our hearts as we feed from your word this morning, from the text that you've laid in my heart. So have your way, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. And let the church say amen. The Bible has commanded us to love our neighbor as we do ourselves. And this is no news to most, if not all of us. We know what the Bible says that we should do as far as this matter is concerned. But the question is, do you even know who your neighbor really is? Do you know who your neighbor is? Because if you don't know or understand who your neighbor is, how can you faithfully love him or her the way that God expects of you? This sermon kicks off with the fundamental presupposition that many Christians in our community today have a misconstrued understanding of who a neighbor is. And as a result, they may not be loving their neighbors as God would expect of them. Hence the title of my sermon this morning, Who is Your Neighbor? You see, there is a worldly way, or there is a worldly perspective of who a neighbor is. And there is a biblical perspective of who a neighbor is. From the worldly perspective, a neighbor is anyone who lives in your neighborhood or anyone who lives close to you. From the worldly perspective, a neighbor is someone who looks like you, someone who speaks like you, or someone who comes from the same family background or tribe as you. But from a biblical perspective, A neighbor is anyone who shows you mercy, regardless of their background, or anyone who is in need of your mercy, regardless of their background. I'll take that again. Contrary to the world's perspective of who a neighbor is, a neighbor, from a biblical perspective, is anyone, regardless of their background, who shows you mercy, or anyone, regardless of their background, who is in need of your mercy. That person is your neighbor. And so from a biblical perspective then, your neighbor doesn't have to have the same skin color as you do. From a biblical perspective, your neighbor doesn't have to come from the same community that you live in. From a biblical perspective, your neighbor doesn't have to speak the same language you speak or have the same accent as you have. From a biblical perspective, your neighbor doesn't have to be an American or someone from a certain nationality. From a biblical perspective, your neighbor doesn't have to be a member of Glen Burnie Baptist Church. From a biblical perspective, your neighbor doesn't have to come from your family. Anyone, regardless of background, who show you mercy is your neighbor. And anyone, regardless of their background, who is in need of the mercy you can give is your neighbor, according to the Bible. Now, this is what Jesus was teaching in the text that we just read, Luke chapter 10, verse 25-37. While he was teaching the crowd, according to Luke's account of the incident, a certain lawyer, someone who was schooled in the laws of Moses, came to him with the intention of putting him to the test. And the Bible tells us that he asked Jesus the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, knowing the intentions of his heart, reversed the question and said, "Well, as a lawyer that you are, do you understand what the law of God says on this matter?" And he said, "Yes, I do. The Bible said we must love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And we must love our neighbor as ourselves." And the Bible tells us that Jesus responded to this lawyer and said, "You've answered correctly. Do so." Do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and you shall live. And in a bit to further put him to the test and to challenge him, Luke recounts that this lawyer went further to ask Jesus a question, "But who is my neighbor?" Who is my neighbor? Which is a question that I'm asking you this morning. Who is your neighbor? Do you know who your neighbor is? The issue is not that you don't know the word. You know the word, but who is your neighbor? And Jesus, in response to this question, goes further to narrate this story about a certain man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. The Bible doesn't give us details as to who this man was, his name or anything about him, but context will dictate that this man was a Jew. So a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Why he was traveling, we do not know. What he was going to do in Jericho, we do not know. But what we do know, based on historical report and based on further research, is that the distance from Jerusalem to Jericho was about 16 miles. And that the Jerusalem-Jericho road was, the topography was really rough, such that thieves and robbers hid in caves and vandalized people as they used that road. And because of the vandalism that took place frequently on the Jerusalem-Jericho way, that road in those days was known as the Way of Blood, or the Bloody Way. Whatever may have made this man to travel from Jerusalem to Jericho on this Way of Blood, we do not know. But the Bible tells us that this man fell in the hands of these thieves and robbers who hid in these caves and in this road. And they beat him, maimed him, took away everything he had, and left him half dead. One of the things we also gather about the situation or about Jerusalem and Jericho is that in those days, many priests and Levites lived in Jericho. And several factors accounted for why they chose to live in Jericho. It was because Jericho had an administrative influence in those days. And Jericho was known to have very fertile soil that attracted many people to live in it. Jericho was an economic hub in the then world. And so the priests and Levites who lived in Jericho frequented this road because they had to go to the temple in Jerusalem for their religious duties. And so this man fell among thieves, he's been beaten, and he's left for dead, and he's there hoping that someone will show him mercy. And the Bible tells us that after a while, a priest came along. Why? Because priests made use of that road. But when the priest saw him, someone who came from the same ethnic background as him, someone who looked like him, who spoke his language, who had a cultural identity that matches with his, when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite, when he saw him, passed by on the other side. The people whom the world called neighbors because of the cultural identity that they had with this man, they passed by on the other side. It was not until when a Samaritan came along. And we learned that Samaritans and Jews didn't get along well because the Jews said the Samaritans were not full Jews because they were partly Jewish and they were partly Gentiles because they intermarried with the Assyrians when they captured them. And so the Jews did not really think of Samaritans in high regard. And the Samaritans didn't think of the Jews in high regard either. We see this, especially when Jesus was having this conversation with a woman at the well in John chapter 4. So there is this schism between Jews and Gentiles. And so if there was someone who by virtue of culture identity, if there was someone who should help this man who is in need of mercy, it should be the priests, it should be the Levites, because they were men of God. They kept the law of God. And one of the things that the law said is, if you see your neighbor's animal in a ditch, you better pick it up. And how much more of a human being? But this was not the man who showed mercy to this man in need. The Bible said when this Samaritan man came along and he saw him, against the backdrop of the tribal rivalry that existed between Jews and Gentiles, despite the fact that this man didn't look like him, despite the fact that this man didn't come from the same neighborhood where this Samaritan came from, the Bible tells us that he was moved with compassion. The Greek word used there is esplanchistei. He was moved and carried by compassion. He did not allow the reality of his time to stop him from doing what was good. He was moved with compassion and said, this man may not look like me. This man may not talk like me. This man may not come from the same ethnic background as me, but I cannot let him die. I have compassion for him. And the Bible tells us that this Samaritan ministered to his need. He bound up his wounds, poured oil and wine on it, put him on his animal, took him to an inn, took care of him, paid for all his expenses, and promised to pay for more if needed. This man showed mercy and compassion to the man in need of mercy. And then Jesus turned to this lawyer and he says, of these three men, the priests, the Levite, and the Samaritan, which of these three men proved to be a neighbor? And this man, the lawyer, correctly answered and said, the one who showed compassion. The one who showed compassion is the neighbor. Not the one who looks like you. Not the one who talks like you. The one who shows compassion is the neighbor. And so this Samaritan was a neighbor to the man in need. And the man in need was a neighbor to this Samaritan. And then Jesus told this lawyer, you want to keep the word of God? Go and do likewise. Let your actions be driven by mercy and compassion. Rise up above racism and tribalism and favoritism and see people as people, regardless of their background, regardless of their ethnic origin, regardless of their nationality, go and do likewise. Be moved by esplanchistei, compassion. That is what is expected of those who uphold the law of God. This morning, the Lord has laid this message in my heart. For such a time as this, in Glen Burnie Baptist Church, for two reasons. Number one, I believe in the Lord that a time is going to come and it's already at hand where God is going to manifest his power in this place like never before. And I believe in the Lord that God is going to open the floodgates of heaven and rain down his blessing upon us here at Glen Burnie Baptist Church. I believe so because I know that God is faithful. And I believe in the prayers that we pray every day for revival in Glen Burnie Baptist Church. He said, we do not have because we have not asked. He said, ask and it will be given unto you that your joy may be complete. Because we've asked for revival, because we've asked for growth, because we've asked for a significant turnaround, I believe that God is going to do it. And because God is going to do it, this message is very timely. This message is intended to prepare our minds for the breakthrough that is coming. When God blesses us, we will not only experience financial blessings, we will not only experience spiritual growth, but we will also experience physical and numerical growth. When God blesses us, what is going to happen is that God is going to bring more people to fill these pews. There will be more Caucasians coming through our doors. There will be more Hispanics coming through our doors. There will be more Asians coming through our doors. There will be more Africans and African Americans coming through our doors. In order for us to honor God, we must embrace the biblical perspective of who a neighbor is. We must honor God's blessing by accepting those who come through our doors and see them as brothers. Even though they don't look like us, even though they don't speak like us, even though they don't come from our community or from our neighborhood, but as long as Jesus is Lord, and as long as we are united in Christ, and we believe in the Bible, you are my brother, they are my brother, so you are welcome to Glen Burnie Baptist Church. We need to embrace this biblical understanding and perspective of who a neighbor is. Because that's what is going to keep them here when God brings them in. If God brings these men and women from the communities in Glen Burnie, in Savannah Park, in Millersville, in Odenton, in all these cities in our area, if God brings them here and we treat them as the world treats a neighbor, they will go away. Because I tell you, souls are perishing. People are looking for a place where God is worshipped in truth and in spirit. People are looking for a Bible-believing church. People are looking for a church that loves as the Bible says they should love. The challenge is, Glen Burnie Baptist Church, are you ready to love as God wants you to love? Are you open to the challenge to grow in your understanding of who a neighbor is? And love because of Christ and not because of color or ethnic background. But before God will bring this physical, numerical growth that we're praying for, God wants to see us first show that we love each other. We have to be faithful with the little that God has given us before he can give us more. For why should God give us more if we cannot faithfully appreciate the little that he has given us? So there is a call this morning. Love your neighbor. Love those who are in our fellowship. Don't be turned off by color. Don't be turned off by social status. Don't only connect with people because you share the same educational background. Love everyone from the biblical perspective. And when God sees that the about 70 members of Glen Burnie Baptist Church do love on each other, as God will have them love on each other, he will be so pleased that he will invite more people from the community to join in this beautiful thing that is going on in Glen Burnie Baptist Church. It begins with you. It begins with you. I speak this morning because I have confidence in the Lord that most of us here, if not all of us here, are willing to yield to the move of God. I believe that most of us here are willing to take on the challenge and say, Lord, help me to be more loving. However I have despised this brother or taking this sister for granted because of their age, because of their color, because of their social status, because of their profession. Forgive me, oh God. Help me to love as you expect me to love. Regardless of the background. And the second reason why I'm preaching this sermon today is because I believe that God wants us as a church to exist beyond our walls. God wants us to not only enjoy the beauty of His holiness within these walls, He wants us to go out into the community and share the love of Christ to those who are in need of Him. God wants us to show love to the homeless in our community. God wants us to show love to the hungry, to the poor, to the sick, to the elderly. God wants us to be intentional about ministering to the misery of the masses in our community with the mercy of the Master. But how can we do that if you do not embrace the biblical perspective of a neighbor? To faithfully minister to the sick and the needy in our community, we need to embrace this perspective. My neighbor is anyone who is in need of the help that I can afford to give. My neighbor is anyone who is in need of the mercy that I can provide. That is my neighbor, regardless of who they are, where they are, where they live, where they come from. God wants us to be a church that loves on this community. And therefore, the challenge this morning is, embrace the biblical definition or biblical perspective of love, that we will not only love on each other and experience growth, but we will get out of these walls and love on our community and let them see the light of God by our fruits. Is it because it is vital for us to bear witness in our community? In this text, the love that we show to our neighbor premises on the love that comes from God. It's a love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And because of when you do that, then you will be able to love your neighbor. You can't love your neighbor if you don't love God. And you can't love God if you don't love your neighbor. The outcome of loving God is a sincere and natural ability to love on your neighbor. And so, do you love God? Do you love God with all your mind and with all your heart and with all your soul? Then love your neighbor, beginning with the members of Glen Burnie Baptist Church. And this will translate into loving on others who come into our doors and loving on others in our community. Because if you don't love God, then you don't love your neighbor. I'm going to allow you to just bow down your heads in prayer and ask God to give you the grace to love your neighbor regardless of background. And as you are in this mood of meditation and reflection, I'm going to let you be ministered to by this song. And after that, we are going to end with a closing prayer. Mm-hmm.
try to help you, then you don't love your neighbor,
and you don't love God.
In the Holy Bible, in the book of Matthew, read the 18th chapter in the 21st verse. Jesus plainly tells us that we must have mercy. There's a special warning in the 35th verse.
Oh, you don't love God.
If you don't love your neighbor, if you gossip about him, if you never have mercy, if he gets into trouble and you don't try to help him, then you don't love your neighbor
and you don't
love God. Salvation in a home on high. If you say you love him while you hate your neighbor, then you don't have religion, you just told a lie.
Oh, you don't love God.
If you don't love your neighbor, if you gossip about him, if you never have mercy, if he gets into trouble and you don't try to help him, then you don't love God.
Oh, you don't love God.
If you don't love your neighbor, if you gossip about him, if you never have mercy, if he gets into trouble and you don't try to help him,
then you don't love your neighbor
and you don't
love God.
Then you don't love your neighbor
and you
don't love God.
Please stand to your feet, everyone. If you don't love your neighbor, then you don't love God. If you love God, then you will love your neighbor. And who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is that individual who, regardless of their ethnic background, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of their social status, regardless of their geographic location, regardless of every background detail about the person, is that person who is in need of your help. Is that person who is in need of your love, who is in need of your support. If you are here this morning and you have a hard time finding who a neighbor is, just look around you. Just look around you. Look no further. Begin with the person next to you. Let us love on one another. The Bible says, beloved, let us love. For God is love. When we love on one another and we are bound together by the cords of love because we embrace the true biblical perspective of a neighbor, God will bless us. As we go, I pray that may the sermon sink in your heart, that you will be a true neighbor to those around you, to those in this church, and to those in your community. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with each and every one of us. May we experience the joy of the Lord this week. And may we be true neighbors to our neighbors. In Jesus' name.